Blog Talk Radio.
What's going on, everyone? Sportsaholics 24/7 live right now. I'm your host John, joined by my co-hosts Jordan and Nick. What's going on, guys?
What's up, John?
I'm doing horrible.
All right, Nick. That's a great way to start us the show. And Jordan, you haven't been on in a while, so great to have you back on the show.
Yep, the return. Let's do it.
The hashtag is the return.
The return of Jordan.
The return of Jordan. Yeah. All right, so we've got a lot to talk about today. We're going to talk a little about the playoffs, some NHL playoffs. And then Nick, he's been wanting to talk about the Mets for a while on the show. We haven't had a chance to. He's going to go out on an epic rant right now. We're going to finish up the show on that. It's going to be great, so all you Mets fans, make sure to listen and call in with your thoughts on Nick's rant. Before we start, the number to call in is 347-884-8496. Once again, 347-884-8496. Any questions, comments about anything going on in the sports world, but especially what we're going to be talking about today, make sure to call in. All right, so we're going to lead off quickly with the NBA playoffs. Last night, another great game. Pacers Heat. The Pacers won 93-90, and now the series is going back to Miami, with Miami leading 3-2. And last night, LeBron got into some foul trouble. And a big issue for LeBron, a big issue this whole series has been this whole Lance Stevenson-LeBron James little feud thing. I don't want to call it a feud because LeBron hasn't really said anything back. But how do you guys feel about Lance Stevenson and LeBron, you know, going back and forth? Jordan, let's start with you.
Well, I just think it really shows what the Pacers are as a whole. I mean, in the beginning of the season, they were really the team to beat for the majority of the season before their fall last month or month and a half of the season. And really what they prided themselves on was mainly being able to win without a true superstar. I know Paul George has evolved into that this season, but before that, the past couple of years and even part of this year, you know, playing as a whole, having, you know, a complete starting five. And basically what they are now is a team that's made of a bunch of players with giant egos, such as Lance Stevenson, Roy Hibbert, and David West have shown that. And
how's David West showing he has a big ego?
Well, just yes, but basically Lance Stevenson, what I'm trying to say is there's too many distractions going on with the Pacers right now. I think they need to just focus on playing basketball. I personally think that they're done, that they're not going to win Game 6. I just think he's returning home or just a more dominant team, and they're going to get it done. But really the Pacers, I think they can play well as a group, but when you have all this trash talking and all these distractions and Lance Stevenson thinking he can be as good as LeBron and shut him down and match him on the offensive side, you know, if LeBron's not in foul trouble, Lance Stevenson is no match for LeBron. So, I don't know. I think the Pacers are done and Stevenson's not helping their cause at all.
Nick, how about you?
I agree with that. Lance Stevenson has to learn to shut up, and he has to – I mean, let's put it this way. He looks like a complete clown. He's talking about how he's supposedly getting under LeBron's skin, but really, he's not. He's not. What I want to see him do is get under LeBron's skin on the court with his actions. Actions speak louder than words. He has to stop contributing to all these distractions that the Pacers have suffered from, which is one of the main reasons why they've been losing.
Now, I'm going to disagree with both of you guys on this. I think what Lance Stevenson is doing is, you know, Listen, if I was Lance Stephenson, no chance I'd be doing anything like that, going into LeBron's face, talking trash, whatever. But last night, it worked. It really did work. And Lance Stephenson, not even close to as good as LeBron James. However, again, last night it really worked. It was effective. They limited LeBron, and whatever it takes to do it, to limit LeBron, you do it. I don't care if it's talking trash. I don't care if it's fouling him hard. Whatever it is, you do just that. And the Pacers came out with the win. And Frank Vogel is probably going to say to Lance Stephenson, you know, you keep doing those little things on the court. Like last night, I've never seen anything like this before. There was a foul shot being taken. Lance Stephenson leaned over to LeBron and blew air into his ear. He just blew into his ear. I mean, that is creative and effective. So I personally think that Lance Stephenson, while I understand what you're saying, I agree with what Lance Stevenson's doing.
John, I totally disagree with you here.
It makes no sense.
I think all Stevenson's doing is just nonsense. I think nothing is really going to faze LeBron. If he has a bad game, you know he's just going to come back and have and just go off and have a much better game. And we saw that in the Nets series. Game 3 wasn't really his best game. What did he do? He came back in Game 4 and scored 49 points. I think the trash-talking, it may work maybe a game. Maybe it'll phase him, make him a little more aggressive than he should have, get him in foul trouble. But what you're doing is angering the best player in the world. And I'd be very shocked if LeBron doesn't have a huge game tomorrow night and doesn't really shut down Lance Stephenson. And personally, I don't really buy Lance Stephenson. You know, people thought maybe he was a snub star game. You know, I don't really see his offensive talent. I know he's, you know, the Pacers as a whole don't really have that much talent on offense besides George. And maybe if he's on a different team, I don't think he'd be as good as he would. Yeah, his defense is pretty good, but I don't really buy him as this great for saying he is.
Yeah, George,
I won't say he's a great player. I just think that what he's doing is effective. Whenever you can hold the best player in basketball to 7 points, LeBron James had 7 points. Let me say that again. LeBron James had 7 points last night. Seven points, okay?
He had it all day. It doesn't mean it was because of Lance Stephenson. He's just making himself look like a clown. He's not actually getting under LeBron's skin. He thinks he is, but he's really not.
Hey, you know what? Whatever he did last night, that worked. They got the win, and I will not be surprised if they try that again. Whatever he was doing.
He's been doing that the whole series. He's been trash-talking the team the whole series.
I think he changed it up a little bit. The whole series, he was doing some off-the-court stuff, too. He was calling out LeBron in the media and stuff. But last night was solely on the court, just getting in his head. I mean, he blew on the guy. He blew into LeBron's ear.
Calm down, boy.
That's crazy.
I'm not really buying what you're saying right now, because I personally don't think anybody can really get under LeBron's skin. You look at the play where they were waiting for the inbounded ball and Stephenson blew into LeBron's skin. He just left it off. I don't think he's really getting under his skin. You have to remember, too, LeBron James, over the past like 5 or 6 years, has been one of the best players in avoiding fouls. I mean, maybe that has to do with some refs possibly giving him the benefit of the doubt. But he's been very good at staying out of foul trouble. Now one game, he gets into foul trouble, limited to 24 minutes, and we see an off game. That's normal. I think if he stays out of foul trouble, at the end of the day, he's still going to be LeBron James.
Well, there are two things that killed Miami Heat last night, and that was Paul George and foul trouble for LeBron. Not Lance Stephenson. Lance Stephenson is just putting on a show. The guy just wants attention. He is bitter about all the attention LeBron is getting, and he wants that same attention. That's the reason why he's trying to piss off LeBron.
It's strategy.
And it's not even working. Strategy. Okay, let's put it this way. Think about it. Out of all the crap LeBron has taken in the past 10 years, all the years of his career, do you think a guy blowing on his ear is really going to affect him? Are you kidding me? He's
hey,
a player in basketball. He is so good.
Yeah, but little things like that can get under people's skin. I mean, Lance Stephenson, I guarantee Frank Vogel is going to tell Lance Stephenson to do exactly what he did last game to LeBron. This is not like something Lance Stephenson is trying to get attention. This is strategy. They're playing mind games right now.
I think LeBron, I think LeBron looks at his paycheck, he looks at his rings, he looks at his MVPs, his gold medals, and he just laughs off Lance Stephenson.
Exactly.
And,
that's what he did last night. Lance Stephenson is like a fly to LeBron, and all LeBron has to do is shoo him away. It's nothing. Last night he didn't shoo him away.
He did not shoo him away.
He just ignored him.
LeBron couldn't. He couldn't. He scored 7 points. Seven.
That doesn't mean it was because of Lance Stephenson. He had an off day. He got into foul trouble. That's normal. It doesn't mean that it was because Lance Stephenson blew on his hair.
I'll have to disagree with you guys on this. I really think that Lance Stephenson is being effective. Whether or not it's going to mean that the Pacers will win the series, probably they probably won't win the series. I still think Miami will win the series. But that's an interesting discussion we had. Now let's move on to the other side of the NBA playoffs, to the Western Conference, San Antonio Spurs versus the Oklahoma City Thunder. This is interesting. You got a younger team in the Thunder with some young superstars. Obviously, Kevin Durant, the best scorer in the NBA, and Russell Westbrook. And now Serge Ibaka's back after Oklahoma City said he's out for the season. Suddenly he's fine, he's back. And then you have San Antonio Spurs, who are one of the older teams in the NBA. They have a ton of experience in that big three, and then they have some great role players. How do you guys think this series will play out? Nick, let's start with you.
Oh, wow. That's very hard to say because they're both completely different teams. They're almost polar opposites. Oklahoma City is mainly controlled, is mainly dominating with Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant. And they can be so explosive sometimes, the Spurs defense can't handle them at all. It's happened. I feel like no matter what game they play, it's always a blowout. It's a very – they haven't had a close game yet. And
oh, wait, we actually have a few callers right now quickly. Let me get this caller on. Hi, do we have a caller?
Hello?
Hi, who is this?
Nick DiMartino.
Hi, Nick DiMartino.
Hi.
All right, Nick DiMartino, what's your question?
Why do I have the same name as one of these people in the cast?
Because
you're awesome.
Hi.
And I love your name, too.
What?
I love your name.
All right, thank you for calling in. We have another caller. Hi, who is this? Hello? Hello, we have a caller. All right. I don't know what just happened. But, yeah, so Nick, go on with what you were saying.
Well, I kind of lost my train of thought for a second. But what I was saying, the Spurs play more like a team. Like, now, not to say that Thunder doesn't play like a team, but the Spurs play the most like an authentic basketball team, the way any coach would want their team to play, than any other team in the NBA, which is certainly going to help them. I mean, they have assets on all parts of the court, and their team is extremely underrated. You got to understand the potential that guys like Kawhi Leonard and Boris Diaw have. They don't get the
all right, Jordan. How about you? What do you think the Spurs can do to slow down Kevin Durant?
I don't know if you're completely going to slow down Kevin Durant. I think they have guys who can maybe defend him well, like Kawhi Leonard, who's probably one of the best defenders in the game right now. But I don't really think you can stop Kevin Durant. You could limit him, but at the end of the day, there's going to be other guys on the Thunder who can kill you, like Westbrook, Reggie Jackson, now Serge Ibaka, now that he's back. But in the beginning of the series, I really picked the Spurs in seven, and I think I'm going to stick with that prediction. Even though the Spurs can't win in OKC, they're like 0-8 or 0-9 in their last, you know, whatever games. I think they're a dominant team at home. I think they come back tonight, and I think whoever really wins this game tonight is going to win the series.
Yeah, that's a bold prediction there. I agree because it's 2-2 right now, and getting this crucial game, that'll be huge. I wouldn't necessarily count out the loser of this game because both teams are so even, but it should be interesting. We have another caller again. Hi, who
Hello?
Is this?
Hello?
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 Hello, who is this?
Hi, it's Nick again.
Oh, hey, Nick. How you doing?
Hi, what do you think about Dave Hudgens?
Dave Hudgens? Well,
Dave Hudgens.
That's interesting because I really don't think he was really a part of the problem because the Mets hitting really sucked in the first place. And but I don't understand how he was going to talk about the fans are a part of the problem, blah, 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 blah. You know what? These guys are getting paid millions of dollars. We're paying for it because we're passionate fans, and we get pissed off if we can't hit, especially having spent billions of dollars to try to get the team better. It's ridiculous. Yeah? Yes?
Oh, it looks like they dropped. So if you're listening, call back again. But I guess since we've had a few callers, we have to move on to the next topic now. That's the NHL playoffs. And, Jordan, you are our in-house hockey expert, big Rangers
right.
fan. How are you feeling? Put away the bias of being a Rangers fan. How are you feeling about this series, this Rangers series against the Canadiens?
Well, right now, up 3-2 from as a Rangers, you got to feel pretty good about the chances. I mean, obviously, getting a little nervous after the last out, did playing terrible, giving up 4 goals in half the game, and having to get. But honestly, I think the Rangers home tonight and get this win. I just think Lundqvist is going to respond well. He's been great in big time games. Just pretty much the past 3 years in the postseason. But I think overall, I think a bunch of guys need to step up. I know they're going to be out. They're going to be without John Moore. But I thought, you know, the Rangers, where they really had success this year is having guys on the third and the fourth line really stepping up that line. Zuccarello, Broussard, and Pouliot has arguably been their best line of the year. But so far this series, the fourth line hasn't really producing how it was in the beginning with Dominique Moore and Brian Boyle. I think those guys really step up. You know what you're going to get as a top guys like St. Louis and Rick Nash and Brad Richards. Those guys are going to be there. But really the success of the Rangers is going to determine on their depth. And those guys really need to show up tonight if they want a chance to win this. And really, I think if they lose tonight, I mean, going back to Montreal, that is not going to be easy. I think the Bell Center in Montreal is probably top three.
All right, well, quickly, we have another caller. Let's see who it is. Hi, what's your question or comment?
Hi, my name's Bo Friedman.
Oh, hey, Bo.
Okay.
Hi, my question is, Nick, are you going back to camp?
Yes, I am.
And can I get a shout-out, please?
Sure.
Shout-out to, okay, to who?
My mom.
Shout-out to your mom.
All right, thanks. Bye.
Have a good day.
I don't know who that was.
All right.
All right, we need to stop picking up that phone for that number.
Yeah, I don't know who this guy
Jordan,
is.
Who are you, Francesca?
That's what call me, Francesca Jr.
You're number one.
All right, so now since
we
have about 10 minutes
we better
left.
I hope I don't fall asleep.
Nick, this is your time right now, Nick. This
My
is your time to rant about
can
the Mets.
Make a little comment about the Rangers?
Sure.
All I can say is this is going to be one of the biggest games in Henrik Lundqvist's career. Henrik Lundqvist does not get the credit that he deserves. The reason being is because he hasn't won anything, but that's because he hasn't had a good team around him in the past year. This game is going to prove so much. If the Rangers can win this game, Lundqvist can get the saves that he needs to get, there will be much more respect for him from the fans.
Yeah, Lundqvist, you know, not getting a lot of help defensively, but he's made some great saves, you know, from the highlights that I've seen of these games. He's really done a great job. All right, we have another caller again, but I think it's the same person. This is the last time I'm going to pick whoever this is up. Hello?
Hello?
What do we have here?
When is your next show?
That's a good question.
You can like our Facebook page or follow us on Twitter. We constantly post updates on when our next show will be.
What's your page called?
Sportsaholics247. And on Twitter, follow us at sports_a_holics.
How many people are tuning into the show right now?
You might be the only one.
We're not sure. But we're going to have to hang up on you because we have to get on with the show. But thank you for calling in.
No, I'm coming. I'll call back.
All right, you can call back.
All right. So this is the moment that we've all been waiting for. Nick's been preparing this rant for a while now. He's been telling me that he has a lot of stuff to say about the New York Mets, his beloved New York Mets. Nick, you got 9 minutes exactly, starting now.
Well, first of all, let me just say this. Sandy Alderson, if you're listening right now, call in, because I want to tell you how pathetic you are of a general manager. Let me just start off with this right now. You spend millions of a ridiculous amount of money on Chris Young. All right, go out of your way to get freaking Chris Young. He has progressively gotten worse over the years. Meanwhile, you had an opportunity to get Nelson Cruz for about the same amount of money because his value went down due to the steroid scandal. And I know some people are going to say, well, he was on steroids, blah, 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 blah. You know what, though? You got to take the risk. The Mets need offense. They need a good hitter. He would fill a perfect spot in the number three position. He's a great outfielder. They needed to get Nelson Cruz. But no, God forbid, the Mets do something good. Instead, they get Chris Young, who, by the way, right now, is batting 200 and has three home runs. You have got to be kidding me. While Nelson Cruz has 17 home runs and he's batting 300. It is an embarrassment. This team, as an organization, they don't know how to manage their money. It's ridiculous, and they don't know how to manage their players. Terry Collins, you're not hiding from me either. Terry Collins does not know how to manage a baseball team. He never seems to have a set lineup. He is so indecisive, and the lineup, I swear to God, it's different every day. You got to understand, for a team to be successful, you have to have a set lineup. He has to go to Fred and Jeff Wilpon, Sandy Alderson, take charge and say, hey, you know what? I'm the manager. This is going to be the set lineup. And that's that. I'm sick and tired of him being like, well, I'm going to play Chris Young. Now I'm going to play Eric Young. Now I'm going to play Flores. Now I'm going to play Tejada. It's ridiculous. And there's no reason why Terry Collins should be managing a team like that. He has, you know what they say, speak softly and carry a big stick. I wish Terry Collins would carry a bigger stick.
Can I interrupt you, Chris? Yeah. Well, on 2.28, I really have to disagree with you. I think I don't know how you could really blame Terry Collins if you look at this the Mets team. They're just really a really bad roster. You got like Bobby Abreu, like batting third. The guy's like 50 years old. He's good like 10 years ago. I mean, I don't really think you could blame Terry Collins. And in terms of like a lineup, I mean, in baseball, at the end of the day, you're still going to have the same guys getting up pretty much the same amount of times. I don't think really a set lineup is going to change much and result in success for the Mets.
So you think it's better just switching everything around instead of having a set lineup so the players get a feel?
I think until you find something that works, yeah. I think he's experimenting.
I see what you're saying, but this isn't working either. Because the players aren't going to improve or get the hang of anything if they're constantly being benched and then that and then benched and then that. It's ridiculous. And another thing is with the Mets, a lot of it, I blame Sandy Alderson for the Mets failures more than Terry Collins. And I blame, I know it's a little late on this, I just wanted to call out Curtis Granderson on this. Why the hell are you getting mad at fans for booing? It makes no sense. You're getting paid millions of dollars, and you can't even bat 250. We're paying for tickets. We're passionate fans. Don't get mad at us for booing. That's ridiculous. I just want to get that out there. Another problem with the Mets is no shortstop. It is you're trying to choose between the lesser of two evils with Ruben Tejada and Wilmer Flores. Ruben Tejada, great on defense. I can't complain about him on the defensive end. Offense, he's been batting 190. That is unacceptable. 190 with like one home run per year is not acceptable. He is not a regular, everyday MLB player. He is a borderline minor leaguer. Quite honestly, same thing goes for Wilmer Flores. Yeah, he's a little better offensively, but defensively, he's a complete total idiot. He doesn't know how to make proper decisions. He makes so many mistakes that should not be made at the major league level, okay? So basically, when it comes to shortstop, the Mets are completely screwed. They should have tried
Nick,
to Stephen Drew.
Can I interrupt you again?
Yeah.
If you don't...
Yeah.
Nick,
yeah.
I have an apology.
I think we lost Jordan. All right, I think we lost Jordan, but I'll try to get him back up.
Okay.
But, you know, one thing I've noticed with the Mets as an outsider, I'm not a Mets fan, but I've noticed this. Every year they consistently have the same exact problems. They always have decent pitchers. Not great
That's
pitchers,
awesome.
But decent pitchers that can get them along. And they have some decent pitchers this year as well. Their biggest issue is always hitting. They never have any good hitters.
Right.
They bring in a guy like Curtis Granderson. They expect him to hit well. He hasn't really been playing that well. Yeah, Juan Lagares, who's probably the best player
Juan
in the Lagares, Mets right now, a great fielder, great hitter. And even with that, Terry Collins wasn't even putting him in the starting lineup. So they have a lot of issues. But I think hitting is such a crucial thing in baseball. I mean, you can't win games without scoring runs, and the Mets don't seem to realize that. They just bring in all these former minor league players, put them in for a few games, see how they do. If not, they call up some more minor league players. The Mets have to be invested in this team. The Wilpons have to be invested in this team. They have to say, you know what, we have to be willing to go out and spend a lot of money on some players. They got Granderson with a big contract. Do that with some more people.
I agree with you 100%, John.
Nick.
What was that? Yeah, what are you going to say?
I think you owe me an apology.
Why?
In the beginning of the season, we had a show, and I was telling you the terrible move.
Curtis terrible Anderson move, what?
And Bartolo Colon. And you told me, and you specifically told me that those are great moves. I looked at the contract for Curtis Granderson, 4 years, $60 million. I mean, the guy could barely hit over 200 for the Yankees.
Hold
the only
on,
reason he was
on,
good was because he had the short portion right
field. Hold on for a second. I never said that the Curtis Granderson move was good. I said I was skeptical about it, and then quite honestly, I didn't think it was going to be a great move. I said that it could possibly turn out to be a good move, but I did not honestly think that it was. The Bartolo Colon trade signing was actually not a bad trade. He's one of the stronger pitchers. He hasn't been as dominant as he was last year, but he is a solid addition to the team.
But
so that is not – it wasn't great, but it wasn't
but
it
Nick,
bad.
But, Nick, this is a lot of money on a guy who's like 40 years old. He's 4-5 with like a 4.5 ERA. When they could be starting pitching with us for a young guy who could develop and be the future of the Mets, and they're wasting a guy. I mean, it's pretty awesome. Aren't going to compete for anything this year. I mean, it's not over, but right now, I don't think they're going anywhere. Hey, why do you pay this guy?
Jordan, I see that.
You paid him.
Jordan, I see that point, but look at how dominant Bartolo Colon was last year. I'm not saying it was a great move. It really wasn't. But I'm just saying, I see why they got Bartolo Colon. At this point, I probably look back and say, not so great, because they have other starting pitchers. But there are other moves that they have made and failed to make that just makes me shake my head. That I don't understand the organization of this team. The problem with the Mets is that the team is full of a bunch of borderline minor leaguers. All right, Lucas Duda on hitting, and I really don't love him with the bat. He's not very fast. He can't bat anything of any higher than the sixth spot in the order, and he makes stupid decisions at first. It's just stupid. He There, he is not a regular, everyday first baseman in the MLB. But you know who could have been? Ike Davis. And what do? They trade him away. He could
Nick, I'm sorry to cut you off. We can continue this next episode. Some great discussions today. I'd like to thank our caller for calling on in, whoever that was. But we're going to have to wrap it up. Thank you all for listening. We will be back soon. Check out our Facebook page and our Twitter for updates. See you later.
Soccer is the best sport in America.
Nobody cares about soccer or hockey.
Everyone loves soccer.
Nobody cares about soccer.
USA World Cup 2014 champions. Goodbye, everyone.